Blog Talk Radio.
I have found a priceless treasure that the world can never give. I have found a precious Savior, and for Him alone I live.
God in the Midst, Get 'Em Radio presents Lunch with Lorraine, Discovering God's Hidden Treasures. Colossians 2, verse 3 says, "In whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge." The Word of God is a gold mine. If you enjoy mining for gold nuggets in the Word of God, this broadcast is for you. The Lord has gifted Dr. Lorraine Nabarro to uncover hidden treasures in the Bible that will delight you as he reveals a different perspective of his word. So get your pick and shovel, turn your mining hat light on, and let's dig into the Word of God.
I have found a priceless treasure that the world can never give. I have found a precious Savior, and for Him alone I live.
Hello and welcome to God in the Midst Radio. My name is Dr. Lorraine Nabarro, and this is Lunch with Lorraine, Discovering God's Hidden Treasures. We've been doing a series of What's in a Name. Today we're going to look at Jesus in the New Testament. Let's start with a word of prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that it teaches us everything we need for life and godliness. Thank you, Heavenly Father, that you are ever present to help us plumb the depths of it, that no matter how well we know it, there's more we don't know. Thank you today for opening the scriptures to us and helping us to be open to the scriptures, that, Father God, we may see you the more clearly day by day. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, praise the Lord. As I said, we're doing a series of What's in a Name. And last time was just a very general introduction of the significance of names, the purpose of names, how names interact. And we kind of went all through from one end to the other. We kind of settled a bit more on Genesis chapters 2 and 3. But basically, you know, we just want to see the breadth of it. Now I'm going to narrow it down a little more. This is still introduction, though. Narrow it down, because the real meat should come the next couple of times. And pardon me for thinking Jesus isn't the meat, but we're going to get to even better than that. Now, we are so familiar with the New Testament that sometimes we forget to read it with fresh eyes. Today, we're going to be looking at Jesus, the various names and titles that he has, and how they interact, and maybe get a fresh look on it. I know I kind of tantalized you a little bit last time by saying, what is the difference between Jesus Christ and Christ Jesus? There is a difference. There's nothing wrong with any way we use it, but the better we know, the more precise, the more depth, the more meaning it holds for us. Amen? So we're going to start with the book of Matthew right now, and we're going to start in chapter 1. This is from the beginning of Jesus' life on earth, even before he was born. Matthew chapter 1 tells of the Annunciation, when the angel came to Jesus, and then the angel came to Joseph. Anyway, so we're going down about verse 18. Now, the birth of Jesus Christ was in this wise. When as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, he was found to be with child in the Holy Ghost. Now, there's a great, I love looking at Joseph in this. I think we do it at Christmas time. But I want to go on down to what the angel said. Well, while he thought on these things, the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived of her is the Holy Ghost. Now, again, kind of traditionally, the name of the child was in the hands of the father. Remember, we alluded to John the Baptist. Now, it was Zacharias, you know, was struck mute, and, you know, everybody was expecting him to name him his son after one of his elders or one of those had said, but the angel had said, no, call his name John. His tongue loosened when he said, we'll call his name John. Then after that, he was, it's amazing what kind of freedom there is once we obey. When we struggled obeying something, we find ourselves kind of bound up. But when we begin to obey, it's amazing how easily things flow. But see, it was on Zacharias to name John. So it is with Joseph. See, this was not just Mary. We often push Joseph aside. Literally, the life of Jesus was in Joseph's hand. If you read it, now this is kind of what I talk about. If you talk about Deuteronomy, like 22:21, says that a man has the right to stone a woman if she's found with child and it's not his. And of course, Joseph's name, even in the Proverbs, it says a good name is to be more valued than other things. So he wanted to maintain his good name, and he was torn about this because, of course, he didn't want her to die. And of course, had she died, the baby in her womb would have died. Amen. So he had made a decision. He did not want to do that. He was just going to put her away privately. So there still would have been gossip, but his name would be a bit protected. And then the angel came to him and he talked to him about the name. Now, he talked to Mary about what her son would do, but he talked to Joseph about the name, because this would have fallen to Joseph to name his son. Okay. And he was actually his son too, because he adopted him. And in the Hebrew law, if you adopt a child, they become the first child. So you don't treat somebody like a stepchild. Okay. So Joseph, that's an aside, but, you know, sometime look that up. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, I already read that, don't be afraid. Okay, verse 21, and she shall bring forth a son, and thou, this is up to Joseph, isn't it, shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from his sins. We know that Jesus is been translated from the Hebrew, and then there's even Joshua's even shortened. I think it's Jehoshua. I'm not doing it right, but anyway, Joshua is a shortening, and what it means is Savior. So his name was Savior. Again, we talked before about how our names, not necessarily our names, but we have names that God knows that we don't even know, but the name is the calling. Remember, Abram changed from Abram to Abraham when he became not just a keeper of the stars, because he knew all the stories of the stars, but he was going to be the father of many nations. So that indicated his calling. So from before he was born, can I say that enough? His name was Jesus. That means he was to be a savior. Now we go on down. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord, of the Lord by the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child. This is from Isaiah. And shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel. See, get that L in there, Emmanuel. We studied that last time. Which is being interpreted God with us. So we have two names here, don't we? And both of them indicate that dual nature of Jesus, don't they? One talks about his human mission of being a savior from our sins. The other one talks about his I don't want to say his divinity, in one way it is, yes, God with us. So even from the beginning, you can see that duality in Jesus. Isn't that amazing? They all missed it. We would have missed it too. But looking back, I always say prophecy is 2020 in hindsight. But already we see that dichotomy. We see that dual nature. Okay. So we see that is it. And verse 25, Joseph 24, being raised from sleep, did as the angel said, bidden him, took him unto him his wife, and knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son. And he, Joseph, called his name Jesus. I think that's beautiful because we always give Mary the credit for bringing forth Jesus. But again, we talked about in the Old Testament, male and female being the Son of God. And these two parts, again, there's the physical part, but that naming was of Joseph's. And so he obeyed too. If any two of you shall agree on anything touching things, remember that scripture? Well, here we have two. We have Mary bringing forth her son, whom she knew to be a savior. And here is Joseph proclaiming him. So no matter what was going to happen at that point, we already, as he is born, have two agreeing as touching this, that that's who he was. You know, he was Joshua Emmanuel. All right. So we saw that. You know that. But I want you to understand the way this was carried out was by his name. So I want to just kind of peruse a little bit in the New Testament, and then we're going to look at a three-sided way of the name, but how we look at the name of Jesus and how we use it. Now, there are a lot of other titles, a lot of other names for Jesus, but mainly we use Jesus Christ. Christ is from the Greek word for anointed. It is the equivalent of the Hebrew word Messiah. So it was our Savior, our Messiah, our anointed one is Jesus Christ. And our anointed one, our Messiah, the Savior, is Christ Jesus. Now, I said that there is a way to use that with precision. You may use them interchangeably. They aren't exactly interchangeable, are they? Jesus Christ, the emphasis always is on the first name, okay? Jesus Christ. So that emphasizes his humanity. He came to save us from our sins. He came to be that sacrifice. Amen? So Jesus talks about his humanity. He's, you know, and then Jesus Christ, Christ Jesus, the emphasis is on his anointing, on his divinity. If you would do that, it would be Jesus Emmanuel or Emmanuel Jesus. That's not quite it, but you get the difference, which one the emphasis is on. I know that's a small thing, but watch it as you pray. It's amazing, you know, just if you know that and you use it, you know, there's blessing in it. Every word of the scriptures has something to teach us about doctrine, reproof, correction, which all of that together is instruction in righteousness. All right, so we're going to go on just very quickly and look at some things that you know about the scriptures. These are scriptures you have read, but maybe you never saw them in this light, okay? So we're in Matthew, and we're not going to get to the epistles yet. I'm going to get there. We're in Matthew chapter 1, where it talks about his naming, right? So now we're going to go to one of the greatest things that, and most pervasive. It doesn't matter your doctrine. It doesn't matter your denomination. This is a point on which all Christians can hold to. And that is what Jesus taught us in Matthew 6. It's also in Luke 11, I think. But here is Jesus, and his disciples came to him and said, Lord, teach us how to pray, which I think is a pretty awesome thing. And I know that because it's repetitive, we sometimes don't count it as much. But remember that this is at least the manner in which he taught us to pray. Verse 9 says, after this manner. Doesn't mean have to be these exact words. Some people use it as an outline. Some people use it as format. Some people use it word for word. But he says, after this manner, therefore, pray ye. Okay? So he's going to give them how they should pray. The first thing he says is, our Father. Now, Father is a title, is a relationship. I'll get to that later. Which art in heaven. What? Hallowed be thy name. That is sentence one. That's the very first item in the Lord's Prayer is, hallowed be thy name. The name of the Lord. Remember how we talked about how many places in Psalms it tells us to praise his name? How many places it tells us to call upon his name? So the name of the Lord is to be revered, hallowed, revered, reverenced, honored, okay? That's what he's taught. Then he goes, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day. He goes on from there, naming the things that we are to pray. Lead us not into temptation. You know, forgive us. All these are important things. But number one on the list, when Jesus said, I'm going to pray. Now, here's number one. Hallowed be his name. First thing you should do, honor his name. So, again, this thing of the name has that significance. That's the position, the place in which Jesus put it in Matthew, both 6 and Luke 11. You know where it is. You say it all the time, but stop and think about it. Hallowed be what? Thy name. All right. So now let's look a little bit at some other places in the Gospels. In Luke, I know that there's numerous places that all of them, Luke and Mark, that they did what? They cast out devils, what, by his power? No. By his words? No. By his name. Now, I don't mean just using his name as syllables, but in his name. That means there's power, there's might. A name is more than just a name. I kind of held off saying this, but I'll bring it up now. We've had this movement in this country the last little bit that where people have felt invisible, undervalued, insignificant, that they don't count. And so when there have been exhibitions of that belief, what is the one thing to say? Say his name. Say her name. Why? Because our name is who we are. Amen? And it's just like you can't bring somebody back, but you say their name. And as long as you say their name, that validates them. That is who they are, that remembrance thing. Okay, so we are to do these things in his name. That's in his power, in his might, in his also his humility, in his strength. I mean, you don't see Jesus puffing himself up and having a service and then taking up an offering. There are people who say it's in the name of Jesus, but they're building their own name. The name encompasses everything you are, okay? So we were told to cast out devils in his name. Also, we've been told that the disciples were what? Sent out in his name. Okay, now that brings me to a few of these things that that we all know. Some of these are in the epistles. What is in his name? Okay, 1 John 2:12 tells us that sins are forgiven for his name's sake. So there is forgiveness for his name's sake. Amen. In Romans chapter 10, we all quote the scripture, but stop and just think about it. And whosoever shall call upon what? The name of the Lord shall be saved. So we see forgiveness in it. We see salvation in it. Being sent out in his name means that we have our calling in it. Our ministry is in his name. And the power that we will be in his name. All of these things are derived from the names. Now, again, I'm going to get back, kind of circle back around. This is kind of the other side of it, our names. But talking about what is in his name, Philippians 4 tells us, right, that our names are, well, he's talking about these women in ministry, and says their names are what? Written in the book of life. That's what we all want. We want our names written in the book of life. I don't know if the name that I bear on my birth certificate is the same one that's in the book of life, but I guess I'll find out sometime. Okay? So all of these things are in his name. Amen? And I know that these are things that we know, but a lot of times we don't focus on them. Okay. We talked about purpose and calling. And again, there are so many other titles and purposes. I want to talk about titles for a moment. And we will get into this again next time when we talk more about, we go to actually the names of God. There are names and there are titles. And they denote many times relationships. They denote purpose or context. I'm give you two quick examples, but we'll go back over it again when we get to that. I always use this example when I would teach in Bible school about this. My mother's name was Tony Miller, all right? When I was at home up until the first 5 years of my life, she was Mommy. That's who she was. But my mother was my own first grade teacher. So in the classroom, her name was Mrs. Miller. I didn't call her Mommy. Why? I was in a different relationship with her there. And then seeing a different aspect of her, I learned a different name. Up until then, I only thought her name was Mommy. But then when I had a different relationship with her, I also saw a different aspect of her. Then, and this will become important when we get to the names of God, and you'll get it. But there was another aspect to her life that I didn't know up to the first 5 years of my life. I just know she went away in the morning, came back in the afternoon. I didn't know what teaching was, but I got it. She was a teacher. And so there she became Mrs. Miller. Now, when I got older, her friends would call her on the phone and ask for her. And I might say, well, Tony's not in right now. Not because I would call her Tony, but they did. They had that friendship relation, which was first name, Tony. Actually, it wasn't even first name. And Antonio was first name. Tony was a nickname. Meaning, remember even Jesus did that with Paul. I'm not Paul, excuse me, but with Peter. He said, listen, this is what they call you, but here's what I'm going to call you. And he gave him a nickname, basically. You know, he is the rock, but you're just Peter. You're just the pebbles. You're just the small stuff, you know. And so nicknames show another aspect of relationships, don't they? And those relationships also show purpose or context. I'll give you another example of that before we go on to look at these other things about Jesus. For example, my actual titles, these aren't names, my name's Lorraine, but my actual titles are Reverend Dr. Lorraine Naboro. Okay? So I have two different titles that can precede my name. But I don't use them all the time, okay? If I'm in a program, a church program, I may use Reverend. Or if, okay, because I'm ordained as such, all right? But if I'm in an academic situation, for example, when I taught Bible school and even teaching here, you don't call me Reverend Dr. Lorraine, you call me Dr. Lorraine Borrow, okay? And, or pastor. I've pastored too. I'm also a chaplain. Now, I use doctor when I'm in an academic setting. For example, when we would do, graduation from Bible school, it is Dr. Lorraine. I'm not being reverend right there. I'm still always a reverend, but I use doctor because it's academic, right? Now, when I go see my clients, my patients. I'm chaplain, Lorraine, and that's different than pastor. There are times when I've shared on this program on the Thursday night, and you'll call me pastor, because what I'm doing then is pastoring, aren't I? Pastor is what we do. It's not a title. It shows our function. Chaplain is the same. A pastor and a chaplain aren't the same thing. I won't go into what the difference is. They both are ministers of the gospel, but they have different functions, okay? So we have different titles showing different purpose. We have different names showing relationship, right? So these things all will come into play. Well, hopefully we'll get to that next time. But I wanted to lay that groundwork so you begin to kind of understand where we're going with this. So we've been talking about Jesus and the name of Jesus. We're sent out in his name. We're saved by his name. Our names are written in his book of life. We can be healed in his name. We are to all these things. So what is, in that sense, the name Jesus Christ mean? Or Christ Jesus. You understand that a little subtly. How did he get this name? Now, this is a very, very beautiful teaching all in itself. So I wanted to take time and give it to you today alone. Okay? As you may know, in Numbers, the number 3, and I'm not getting into huge, intricate numerology, because a lot of that's just kind of a little bit of hooey. There's a profound amount of knowledge on numerology. There's things that I've taught, done, written, etc. But 3, we'll just look at 3 for the moment. 3 is the smallest complete number. All right? I'll teach you real quickly on 3. The smallest complete number. I guess I'll pick on geometry first. If you're talking about plane geometry, that's P-L-A-N-E, not P-L-A-I-N, plane geometry, what does a figure require? The bare minimum of sides and angles. 3, a triangle is the smallest plane figure. It can be a square or a rectangle. It can be a hexagon. It can be an octagon. You can increase the number of sides and angles, you know, to affinity, but the very smallest one is 3. You can't have less than 3. All right, something you may get a little bit more, family. If you're just a husband and wife, you're a couple, but you have one child, you are now a family, right? So you have mother, father's child. Now you can have 3 kids, 4 kids, 10 kids, you're still a family, but the bare minimum for a definition is 3. Now, I know we extend family different ways, but ultimately, you get what I'm saying. All right. So let's look at it this way. Now, I doubt that there's probably anybody in here on this call that will even remember something like milking stools. But like where I'm sitting, there's a sofa that has 6 legs, 2 on each end and 2 in the middle. Okay. But there's a chair over to the side that has 4 legs. Well, what is the bare minimum number of legs that will make it stable to sit on? And that's 3. Milking stools had 3 legs. You got 2 or 1, you wobble, don't you? Again, remember when you were a kid, there were those fancy guys who could ride unicycles. Most everybody rode bicycles. And, you know, you could fall over. When you were very little, you had a tricycle. Why? You don't fall over with it, do you? Those 3 sides made it stable, okay? I can go on and on. But you see then, when we talk about, and, you know, it's not actually in the scriptures as such, but the Godhead, that there are 3, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, that makes it stable. It's the smallest complete number. So the number, whether you use that terminology or not, the number, it shows that stability, okay? I will go on. Then when you begin to multiply it, let's look at this, like the fruit of the Spirit, okay? Now, there are nine aspects to the fruit of the Spirit, all right? But what is nine? It's three times three. If three is complete, then nine is completely complete. You get that? It's emphasized, it's squared, it's times itself, it's intense that way, okay? The same, and the same with the gifts or manifestations of the Spirit. There are three groups of three: speaking tongues, interpretation of tongues, prophecy, word of knowledge, word of wisdom, discerning of spirits, faith, miracles, healings. Nine of them, but there are three groups of three, and they're complete. We don't need any of that. It's not like somebody's going to come up with a different, you know, aspect of the Spirit. Oh, wait, we didn't have that before. We need it now. Nope, that covers everything we need. Okay, I'm kind of gone a little bit. Look at the epistles. They are in two groups of three, and then one stands alone. Romans, Corinthians, Galatians are one set, talking about the doctrinal of Jesus Christ, and Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians talk about the law of the Spirit. Okay, we'll jump over that, but you'll see that. So three. Now, so the reason I brought all that up is for you to see that the name of Jesus, the name, and I don't mean just Jesus, but his position with that name, he came on three different ways. You ask yourself, how do you get your name? Well, we can say, well, Joseph gave him his name. Well, maybe your mom named you, or maybe, you know, you look at your puppy. Why did you get your puppy's name? Oh, he looked like a, you know, a rover, whatever it may be. But the name, that name that is above every name, and that's another thing we didn't even talk about, but the name that is above all names, is the, how did that get to be where it is? So let's look at the three different ways. The first way is, not in any order. Hebrews 1, chapter 1, verse 4. He inherited it. God, his father, he inherited that name. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 4. Being made so much better than the angels, as he hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. His name is more excellent than all the angels. Why? He inherited it, didn't he? They were made by God, but he was the Son of God. So we see that way he earned, he inherited the name. The second way we're going to look at is that he was given a name. You know, it can be given to you as a gift, free of charge. All right, so we're going to look at Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2, let me find my place, 9 and 10. Wherefore, okay, we're looking about being found in fashion as a man. He humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore, God hath also highly exalted him, and what? Given him a name, which should be above every name. All right, that's it. He was given a name, and if God gives you a name, God can say it's above every name. You remember the 12 tribes, they were all equal. Some were bigger than others. Some, you know, had different functions, different giftings. They lived in different areas. But before God, all the tribes were equal, okay? But God has given a name to Jesus. Wherefore, God also hath highly exalted him, given him a name which is above every name. And that name he got because God gave it to him. So we see that he inherited that name. We see that he was given that name. And then we have one more way, the three, to completely complete. Nobody can challenge the name of Jesus. Amen. And that is, we're going to read in Ephesians chapter 1. And you can read a whole lot of that in like Hebrews, you know, and Romans, they go through how that by being the sacrifice, he purchased our salvation. He made himself this for us. So he earned it, okay? We're going to read, though, just one verse, Ephesians chapter 1. And Ephesians, that first chapter, lays out all that God did in Christ. Amen. It isn't about what we need to do. It's what God did in Christ for us. Ephesians 1, we're going to read verse, well, he has this prayer. What is the exceeding greatness of his power to us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power? It starts actually with 18. 18 through 23 is one of the most powerful prayers you'll ever find, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead, set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion. Again, we get this thing of the exalted name, the name that is higher than any other name. And every name that is named, not only in this world, but that also which is to come. And he's put everything under his feet. So he has highly exalted his name. Why? Because he earned it, okay? So Jesus didn't get his name just one way. Jesus inherited the name, and Jesus earned the name, and Jesus was given the name. So he can't be challenged on any side, can he? Then when he has gotten it three different ways, the name of Jesus is highly exalted. Amen. We're going to go next time and look at, we're going to go right back to Genesis 1:1 and start in there. But I just wanted just to see that even where we read all the time, there is this pervasive usage of the significance of names. And we need to just kind of heighten our awareness of that. Amen. So next time we're going to look from Genesis 1:1 on. But today we've seen that all these things have come to us by the name of Jesus. Forgiveness has come. Salvation has come. Ministry has come. Power has come in the name of Jesus. All they are in we are in the Lord's, the Lamb's book of life. Our names are written there. And all these things have come to us because of our connection to Jesus, whom we call brother, whom we call Lord. Again, those relationships that tie us to him, don't they? We call him Lord. Some people say Jesus, they don't say Lord Jesus, do they? He is our brother, and he has the preeminence because he has been given a name, he's inherited a name, and he's earned a name. Next time we'll go even farther into it, but I hope this has blessed you a little bit, and I hope that, you know, you kind of internalize this and think with it through it and go forward. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you to know that our name is written in the book of life. Jesus, when you send out people, they came back cheering and glorying because they had all these things that happened. People had been healed, people had been set free, and he said, don't glory in that. Glory that your name is written in the book of life. So we certainly thank you for having included us in that list of names. Thank you, Father, that we know the name of Jesus is so powerful, is so exalted, is so worthy. Thank you, Father God, for opening our eyes and opening our hearts to know that we have the privilege of using that name whenever we want to in prayer, in the precious and the exalted name of Jesus our Lord, we pray. Amen. God bless you. Have a great week, and we'll hear from you next time. Bye-bye.
I have found a priceless treasure that the world can never give. I have found a precious Savior, and for him alone I live.
Thank you for joining God in the Mist, Get 'Em Radio's Lunch with Lorraine, Discovering God's Hidden Treasures.
Enjoy the entire family of Get 'Em Radio broadcast by calling 516-418-5699. That's 516-418-5699. Now, mark your calendars and set your cell phone alarms. Lunch with Lorraine, Discovering God's Hidden Treasures, is aired every Monday at lunchtime, 12 noon Central, 1 p.m. Eastern. Prophetic Healing with the Healing Community is on the second Wednesday of every month, 8 p.m. Central, 9 p.m. Eastern. And the Thursday edition of God in the Mist airs every Thursday at 9 p.m. Central, 10 p.m. Eastern. Once again, you can listen to all these broadcasts as they air by calling 516-418-5699. When you have an opportunity, Google Get 'Em Radio. That's GITM Radio. And listen to this broadcast in its entirety, as well as all of Get 'Em Radio's on-demand podcast. As you listen to our podcast, click the follow button, and you will get a reminder via email of all our upcoming episodes. You may contact us at getemradio@gmail.com or call us at area code 314-325-9986. We'd love to hear from you. Also, meet us on Facebook at God in the Mist and like us because we like you too. Have a blessed rest of the day.
I have found a priceless treasure that the world can never give. I have found a precious Savior, and for Him alone I